Hello and good morning. Hey, thanks for joining us. Hey, we got kind of a reversal today with the Boise State game, since we've got 100 and something of our clients that are coming off to a tailgate party. I'll kind of slip out of here just a little bit early, since the game starts at 10. Not that you all won't be hunkered down anyway. But and it's interesting. It's huge, the biggest game of the year, for sure, right? Well, I don't know. You can't say that this early on, because there'll be other big games. If they can pull this off, there'll be other huge games for sure. And we'll see. We'll see what the Broncos have. It's always interesting, if you will, gut-wrenching, the first game, especially the first big game, right? This is just huge, right? And everything is tilted against the Broncos, going to their home stadium, on and on. But we'll see what they do. For those of you who have been around here for a while, we know the Broncos are capable of absolutely anything. Yeah, they could even beat a team like Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl as a 2-touchdown underdog. And so we can certainly beat the Seminoles. We'll see. It'll be a fun day for sure. You know, I got to thinking about this yesterday, so I kind of shifted gears of what I wanted to talk about. And it was just like sitting there listening to some of the news and the constant, you know, we're going to have a recession, or what do you think about the recession? What do you think about the inverted yield curve? And, you know, and to a certain point, you just kind of go, you know, these same people have been calling for a recession for a decade. It's just complete babble. The inverted yield curve, we've talked about that a lot. It's a different time. You have $15, $16 trillion in negative bonds around the world. Yeah, it's kind of a low interest rate environment. It's kind of different. We've never done this before. But the idea that 1.5 10-year treasury sounds like a really big bargain, well, if you have negative interest rates, it is. But all of this uncertainty and all this constant negative babble because the media hates Trump creates a real negative feeling out there that things aren't any good. And I know we're in a presidential election, and you say, oh, yeah, okay, so Elizabeth Warren's got no economic plan that's ever worked anywhere in the world, but she's going to push an economic plan because why? Because, well, just a few people at the very top are doing well. And that's just not true, and everybody knows it's not true, because if you have a job, you could have two or three. If you don't have a job, I don't know what to do with you. Sorry. Everybody's working. Consumer confidence is through the roof. It's just an amazing time. So you can't run on economics, because it's good. So we make stuff up. And it makes us feel bad. And I just speak on a personal level that occasionally, and I'm kind of an optimistic guy. I clearly am. God really gave me that blessing. He really did. But I do too. I occasionally get beaten down by the gloom. I just do. It's human. I just feel fortunate that I'm not in the camp of, you know, if you will, the polar opposite, a pessimist, right? Or I know. There's no such thing as a pessimist. They're realists, not pessimists. But you know what I mean. Somebody that sees everything as the cup half empty, right? And I can't imagine how that person could invest to build a business, to expand a business. I just don't know how they would do that. I think at times it'd be really hard to even get up in the morning, because you're supposed to be just beaten down, just constant negative beat down. And then we get it all day long on this station too. I mean, I'm not going to just say it's other media. It's this station too, but in particular, it's the equity indexed annuity pimps. They just, you know, it's the market's a big high risk. It's a terrible thing. And next crash. It's coming. It's going to crash. We just talk about this market like it's this outside weird thing. Like it's just this thing that only people that gamble or trade play in. The rest of us, we need to protect our money. And it's, we lose sight of the fact that it's investing in the great corporations of the world. We just lose that. That's what it is. It's like, these aren't pieces of paper. I mean, they are, but they represent what? Ownership. Ownership of the greatest businesses on the planet. And you don't have to go in as an IPO. You don't have to take a high-flying risk on a pot stock. You can own companies that have been around for 100 years if you want to. 80 years. Dominant companies in every industry. No, I don't want to take much risk. Then let's just buy the highest quality in different areas here. Let's buy the soap company, Procter & Gamble. Highest quality in that particular space. Okay, what do we want over here? Oh, let's go ahead and go get some Google. Pardon me. So we have all of this weird hyperbolic tension that comes at us all the time. And I don't know exactly how to tell you to just get over it, because people have a hard time getting over it, because as soon as you turn on the TV the next day, it's blasting at you again. And the equity indexed annuity pimps, they're going to come at you the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day until they just like, oh, the world is so horrible. I can't possibly risk being in the greatest investment for building wealth that anybody's ever had. I need this high commission thing that locks me up forever because I'm scared. We lose our collective minds when we live in fear. Because nobody thinks that you can have market participation without risk. Nobody thinks that. Because you already know you can't do that. Nobody thinks you should do something that nobody that you admire in the investment world does. They all speak against it. All of them. It's absurd. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You cannot do that. That's absolutely stupid. But Warren Buffett isn't doing it. Goldman Sachs isn't going to do it. JP Morgan isn't going to do it. Certified financial planners don't do it. Nobody does it. Except insurance agents. That's it. And they drop their securities licenses so they can do it. That's all. Because you can't lie when you sell securities. You can't. You have to have full disclosure if you're a certified financial planner. If you're a registered investment firm, full disclosure means, hey, these things won't work. Hey, these things are super high commission. I get paid a ton of money. So it all comes out of your pocket. Man, that's full disclosure. It won't work. And you're locked in. I mean, it's like unbelievably bad product. That's what you'd have to say. But if I drop all my licenses, guess what? I have the license to steal. Say whatever I want. And that's what we have in a world that is full of angst. Because everybody knows in their heart. Well, I'll just kind of listen. Now, why? Why? Why would you listen to a one-sided sales pitch you know isn't true? Because you're fearful. You're just like, I don't know what it says. I don't know what to do. I'm just scared. And this guy here said recession. And this guy said inverted yield curve. And I don't know. I'm nervous. Crash. They keep saying crash. When's the next crash? We're overdue for a crash. What? You know, it's just like you feel like the mumbler. It's crash. It's bad. It's bad. It's this all the time. I mean, I realize that what most people think is like I'm a wild-eyed optimist. I'm a Pollyanna. No, not really. I feel the same way sometimes. It just beats me down. And so I have to pull back and reflect. I really do. I mean, sometimes you just have to get away and think about things from a 10,000-foot level. It's just like, look at it. And sometimes read the greats. You know, you just pull out some stuff from John Templeton and you go, all right, life is good. Read some Warren Buffett stuff. It helps. If you're spiritual at all, then there's something broken inside and you know it, right? Because the world is always flawed. But it shouldn't be depressing. And so it's inside of us. And so we have to deal with that as well, because it comes out in all kinds of ways, not just bad investment. So to me, it's one of those things as I've been thinking about yesterday, is that, you know, that doom and gloom that just constant, it just makes people feel bad when they shouldn't, when things are good. Yeah, I worry about the political scene. I don't think that Donald Trump does himself any favors by tweeting every second of every day. He just puts a big target on his back. The media is unfair to him. I get it. He can fight back a little, but it doesn't make sense to pick fights everywhere, but he does. I don't understand it. So the angst continues. And on the other side, they just go up another notch of lies, another notch of made-up stories. Makes no difference. Pitching to their audience that already hates that guy. It makes for a very toxic situation, a very toxic feeling about the world, about the economy, about what's really going on in your life. So what I know, and I think it's important to know some of the basic things when we're thinking about this, is that people are spending a lot of money out there. A lot. The consumer is in great shape, considering we have a consumer-driven economy. That's good news. Period. No comma, but just period. That's good news. The consumer confidence is great. Even though everybody's coming at it negative. Constant. Just constant. The world is so much more abundant. And it's just one of those sad points, especially for millennials, that they were raised like we all were raised in a very negative world. I don't know why education does this, but when I was in junior high, they taught me. No, it wasn't a possibility. They taught me that the world would be orange a couple decades ago by now. The Hudson River was so dirty, you didn't walk by it on a windy day. People swim in it now with millions more people, billions more people, and the world's not orange. But I was taught that. But millennials now are taught that, you know, there's only 10 more years. That's it. We're all dying anyway. That's the constant. So what's the point? What's the point of investing? What's the point of starting a business? Because when you start a business, you grind. You grind. It's not just for old guys like me, a point of pride that we had nothing, that we worked 60 or 70 hours a week. We studied at night. We had no lives. We didn't run out to bars and hang out with friends. We couldn't. We had no time. Sure, we worked hard, and sure, we're proud of that and proud of making it through this incredible gauntlet. But it's how everybody does it. Starting a business is tough, really tough, really big commitment. Few do it. And why would you do it if the world's going to end in 10 years? You just want to work hard for 10 years, then make it, and then the world ends? Whew, that doesn't sound any good. So I give up a decade or two of my life, and things start turning around and getting really good, and then we die. Great. Or the polar bears all sink, or whatever it is. It's never happened, but we talk about it every generation. And it really depresses people, makes them not invest. It's a problem. It's a very big problem. Anyway, maybe you have some suggestions. How do you deal with it? Other than, you know, a shot of whiskey or a glass of wine. What do you do? I think it's an interesting thing. How do we dial this back? How do we recognize it in us where we're running in fear instead of embracing the most abundant world, abundant time ever in history? The freedom to travel, to learn, to grow. The Library of Congress at your fingertips. These are amazing things that should bring us great joy, but they don't. They don't. They're just things in a sea of negativity. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We've got to take a quick break. Ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Please do join us at 580-5436-580-KIDO. And again, if you prefer email, that's fine. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. So, you know, not to belabor this point, but our attitude is so important in investing. When we feel so smugly superior because we're not pessimistic, no, we're realists, and we've been doing a lot of reading. Well, 90% of the news is negative. So we're reading 90% bad. We don't really know if it is important, but we are able to run our imaginations to how important it is or isn't. And we miss because we overanalyze in a world we don't know the future. And I think we put so much, too much value on short-term results. Now, that's not exactly a profound statement. That's just a reality. But here's the problem. People don't think that they think short-term. Whatever you're doing trading-wise isn't as short-term as somebody else, therefore you're not short-term. Does that make sense? If you're trading more or you're worried more often than I am, then I don't have to worry about it. In other words, we set the bar to ridiculously low levels and then we can crawl over them and we're fine. We don't really think long term. We think, well, I'm going to be retiring in 5 years. I just don't have a long term window. So what are you going to do in retirement then? I mean, does that mean in 5 years we take a pot of money and we hide it under the bed? Well, no. No, it doesn't mean that. But what if we have a market crash, you know, between then and now? Okay. And you don't think you'll ever have one again in your life? Well, but what if I did? It would be a disaster then. Don't you think it would be a disaster the year after you retired then? Oh. See, retirement's a change point, not an end point. We often see our lives as end points, a constant set of end points. Well, as soon as the kids are gone, as soon as this happens, I can, and all those things. Instead of, those are changes, and we also need to be investing longer term than those changes. Now, if you need all of your money at X point, or you need $100,000 because you're taking a ginormous trip and you're going to need to buy a new RV when you do it, okay? And that's going to be 1 year from now. Then you don't invest the money in the stock market. Because any time you could have a 10% correction. We have one a year on average. It's not abnormal. We act like, well, we should be able to guess this. Or did we diminish? Did we do this? No. If something is normal and occurs once a year, what are you doing even thinking about it? But we can't help ourselves. We simply can't. I get that. It's extraordinarily hard. But we have to. And we have to quit thinking that we aren't like that. That we are above all of the bad news. So it's okay if it plays all the time. I'm above that. It doesn't bother me. Really. Bothers all of us on some level to constantly have that negativity reel playing. Let's just flip it over and think about it, right? So there's a saying in golf that there are no negative comments if you're a caddy. Nothing. It's raining. Nope, can't say that. Uh-uh. There's a body of water on the left. No. Don't want to go right. No. Never any negative. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that, and that is like, of course, never negative. You never walk around and put any negative thoughts. Everything's great. That's fine. We're going to get up and down. No big deal. We're going to get up and down out of that. That's fine. Next shot. On to the next. Here we go. You got this. Everything's positive. And everybody would universally agree that's exactly what somebody in that type of mind frame has to be. They have to be 100% positive, 100% confidence of themselves, or they cannot make a swing. Everybody would agree with that. Or if you don't like golf, a quarterback, whatever. You don't walk up to the quarterback and go, man, I don't know how I'm going to get open. I just don't know. You're not throwing the ball online at all today. You know, nobody thinks that that's what you do. But when we come to life, what we ought to do is analyze all the things that can go wrong all the time. And we need a constant stream running at us. Tick, 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 tick. Constant. Can you believe this happened? Da 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 da. On and on. Not helpful. Not helpful to thinking forward, to thinking long term, to investing for the future. Growing businesses. Healthiest people aren't sitting around watching news. I just tell you, I'm just positive of that. And I didn't do a study. Just 100% positive. It's just great that people don't watch the news. They're happier. Pretty much guarantee it. And I didn't do a study. Didn't read about a study. Just know it's true. And we all know it's true. And when we get ourselves embedded in that, or let's say we do that, and then we even spend time on the weekend listening to more negative talk about how the market's going to crash. Doesn't bother me. I'm a long-term investor. That stuff doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I just kind of enjoy it. You know, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Right. Why do you even do that? Because it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. You're literally contemplating it because nobody says, you know, the reason I wasted 2 or 3 hours over the weekend listening to lies and deceit is because, well, you know, I just like to waste time. Nobody does that. I don't have time. Nobody has time. Nobody wants to waste time. So we have to watch our inputs. We really do. It isn't helpful to have negative coming in. What are you spending your time with? So for me, I'm really careful. What I try to do, for what it's worth, is I just pull away over the weekend. I really do. Totally. Gone. Psh. Gone. Disconnect. And I don't watch very much news at all. I get it all day long. I read the Wall Street Journal, a balanced newspaper. That's it. Obviously, it's everything I can do to read all the different reports I get and all those things that come in and the economic reports. But they're not trying to sell me anything. It's viewpoint. What's going on in the world? It's not positive to take too much in. And maybe you don't want to pull back over the weekend. I know many people that like watching the news shows over the weekend. Okay. But you got to find a way to dial it back, to pull back and look at the world at a 10,000 foot level. Got to. It's a beautiful place. It's not perfect, but that's, to my knowledge, I was never promised perfect. So I don't get too mad about it, not being perfect. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We have to take a quick break for Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. We'd love to hear from you today, so let's do so on this Labor Day weekend. Jim, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. What's happening?
Good morning. Hey, it's a beautiful day yet again in Boise. Amazing, huh?
And I hear the Rads are playing an early game today.
They are. They are. They got kind of gypped on this one. I imagine. I don't know. I didn't follow it, but I bet the sports line jumped 3 or 4 points for the Seminoles on the news. It's going to their home stadium. So, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Jacksonville is right in the middle of your exit route out of Florida.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, I was going to mention that you were talking about negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this friend who's got this wife, and she is the epitome of liberal. I'll tell you what. She's from Oregon.
Mm.
She's a daughter of a college professor.
Mm.
And I was having dinner with him a couple of nights ago, and I'll tell you, everything in her world was negative, was bad. A lot of times when we get together, it'll be me that'll say something that'll piss her off. This time it wasn't me. It was basically Trump and the world. You know, I mean, just everything was bad, the environment, corporations, everything, you know. And occasionally, my friend, her husband, would say something that wasn't totally negative against Trump, right?
Yeah.
And I was kind of fearing for him, you know. I mean, she'd kind of look at him like, what the hell are you doing, you know?
Didn't ask so, you, yeah.
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 So, you know, you're right. I mean, there's no sense of humor. I mean, most of this stuff, dare we say all of this stuff, we have no control over, and getting into a lousy mood is not going to help anything.
It doesn't, and it really gives us a bad perspective in life, doesn't it? I mean,
yep.
it just really does. It almost, if for many people, just takes the joy, any joy of living out, you know, any joy in life, and it's gone. And it's a sad thing because the world is an abundant place, and if we don't see it clearly, we miss it so badly, and you could just get caught. You can imagine that spinning negativity. We all know what happens. You get around somebody, and they're complaining about everything. I mean, everything.
Yep. Well, and, you know, you heard of Alan Sherman, right?
Yes.
He did Hello Mother, Hello Father.
The what now?
Alan Sherman.
Alan Sherman, I know.
You know, hello, mother. Hello, father.
Okay. Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
That was the only thing that he did that was really popular. He's done a lot of cool stuff, but he did one little parody in the 60s called "Give Me a Cause," and it was about, you know, he talks about joining all these causes because he's wanting to get girls, and all these girls are joining these causes, you know, and that's why he's joining these causes. It's a hilarious little thing. And the first lines are, give me a cause, give me a movement, any unnecessary mess that needs improvement, about how everybody is, just, especially women. And a while back, I brought that up to Sarah,
yeah.
You know, and she's thinking I'm putting down women because they join all these causes, you know. Anyway, it's really clever.
I've said that for years, but I didn't realize I was going to get in trouble for it. But I said, if you wanted to get chicks, you had to be a liberal in college, you know.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You have
no.
to.
Most of us got, I mean, you know, I remember, I think it was the cover of Time magazine a few decades ago, came up with a picture of a little boy and a little girl, and they actually said that males and females are different. They'd come to that conclusion.
Well, it was famous. Time magazine did that. What was it, in the 1970s or something? That sometime they had a whole cover of it devoted that men and women were different. Actually, it was in the 80s. It took them quite a while to figure out that men and women really were different.
Yeah.
It was front page news. Like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. If you
this
got a
is
problem,
something we already knew, right?
If you got a problem, take it up with God. Now,
yeah.
the weird thing about it is, okay, now, I you know, to be totally fair, now, the Bible was written by men that supposedly were inspired. But, I mean, you start in the Garden of Eden. Right off the bat, Eve is created from a rib. Then she falls for the devil in the form of a snake. So the downfall of all humanity is due to Eve.
Right.
So the females did get a rum go in that.
They did. There's no doubt about it. No. Hey, you know, it's funny. It's people say, you know, you have to be careful. You have to this or this. It's you know what? It's what's in to me. It's what you do and you live in your life. It's funny. We have more women in our office than we do men. You know, I have two daughters and three granddaughters, but you know, but I'm a Neanderthal that doesn't understand. I just find that so dishonest that we talk about things rather than just acting out our lives and living our lives. It's yep. It's what you do that matters, not the pretending joining causes nonsense. It's just because it is nonsense in so many cases. Or I have to be exactly careful about whether I say girls or it's neutral gender. I heard this unbelievable thing going on out at Micron now for job posting. They run it through an artificial intelligence to make sure that no statement is too feminine or too masculine or too that it's all perfectly PC. And so before they can run an ad, and we need computers to tell us if we are, because we just don't know when we're going to have a micro outrage or whatever they call those things, right?
It's crazy. You know, I've always, I don't like technology, and I take offense to somebody like Bill Gates or some little teeny bopper 15-year-old creating something that I've got to learn and jump through a hoop, you know, whether it's a computer program or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't like, you know, somebody invents something and I've got to pay the price for it, you know, to learn it, so to speak.
Yes. Yes, sir. I know. Well, we were born in a good time. Technology. I've been thinking about this. Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go, Jim. I got to let you go because I got to
take
a break.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You have a great day. Thanks.
You
go
too.
Broncos. Bye-bye. And when we come back, I've got a little thought I want to toss out there too. All right. But we have a clear board. We want to talk with you. It's 580-5436. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. You know, and I forgot to tell you this too, of course. Dave at petsofinancial.net. That is our email. Hey, we got an email here, and so we obviously want to get that on here as well. Question for your radio show. With the new Secure Act passing on a bipartisan vote through Congress, if and when it passes Senate, will it ultimately help the markets? It also dawned on me that that some of the folks in Congress who voted to pass the act may also be on board with free health care and college, along with student loan forgiveness, which would tank the markets because America will be broke. Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest? The progressives might as well say, yes, save for retirement, and we will help you. But when you get to retirement age, you probably won't be able to retire because your accounts will be worthless. Looking for your thoughts, Mike. Okay, so the new Secure Act, which allows people to, I believe this is correct, Mike, to more easily have retirement accounts. That's the premise. It's easy to have retirement accounts. I don't think it'll do a thing for it, frankly. I don't see how that's going to help. It's a matter of people wanting to retire, to be self-sufficient, to actually have an ounce of, if you will, as Warren Buffett and team says, the deferral gene. You're willing to put some money aside and not spend it right now. You have some discipline in your life. I just don't think it does anything to do that. So do I think it will help the markets? No. Do I think it'll hurt the markets? No. I think it's irrelevant. Just another feel-good thing that won't change a thing about the way people act. And I don't think the government ought to be doing anything in that respect. If you want to act like an idiot, then you're free to act like an idiot. You're free to throw your hands in the air and go, wow, I just can't believe how hard it was in life, and I don't have any money now that I'm 65 years old. I have to live on Social Security. What a bummer, man. Okay. Sorry. I actually, except for a very, 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 very tiny fraction of people, don't feel sorry for you. That tiny, 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 tiny fraction of people had a whole bunch of bad stuff happen in their life, and I feel bad for that. The universe piled on them. I don't know why. But the vast majority of people just made a whole bunch of crummy decisions and decided to have no discipline in life, didn't want to put a nickel away, went into debt, and just bought stuff, just kept buying stuff. And they know better, but they didn't want to change the way they were. So they don't. So I just don't see it doing anything to, quotes, help people do that. The one thing that is very negative about it is that if you inherit an IRA, you were able to stretch that out over your life and make small distributions. Now they want to have you make people take it out over a 10-year period of time. This is really the reverse of good long-term planning and helping people. Because what happens in this case is, yeah, the United States gets more tax revenue earlier. Yippee. Doesn't matter if they get another $1 trillion, they'll figure out another way to spend what? $1.5 trillion. It's what they do. Governments grow. They never shrink, they never go away, and they never help. And the sooner we understand that and come to that, the easier it is to have a budget discussion. Doesn't matter how much money the government has, they'll spend that plus more. Always. Because it buys votes and makes people heroes. Because they throw money at different places, including businesses that throw it back at them. I know, that sounds very pessimistic, but it's very true. Government just grows. So we all talk about budget deficits. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. It forces them to slow down spending. Give them more money. Doesn't matter. They'll deficit spend anyway. And it'll impede all of our lives. What I'm saying is, okay, great. You can't stretch that out so the government gets more revenues, which I've made the case, I hope, that isn't a positive thing at all. It doesn't matter. It just totally doesn't matter. But now it forces people over a 7-year or a 10-year period to take all the money out. Instead of having it out over a long period of time, it's the one thing that tends to save some young people from themselves. Is they get a little check every year. Now they take it all out, pay taxes. They'll have less, but the point there is now what are they going to do? In many cases, they're going to blow it. That's not good. That's not good at all. So that, to me, is the big negative in this one. Making IRAs and 401ks more readily available. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Don't think it'll change a thing, but it sounds good. But the takeaway is that they're really taxing more, and that's a problem for me. So in the long run, do I think that I think, honestly, to basically address your question, for the people that want Medicare for all, the people that want to get rid of the loans, in other words, the socialists, right? They want wealth taxes, things like that. Yes, the answer is if they're in office, the market will tank. Yes, it will. I've said that before, and I want people to be aware of it. I've always said, no, the elections don't matter that much. When you've got nutty people on the left that are running for president and they want the kind of platform that would destroy the economy, that matters. That does matter. You can want to make marginal changes. You can want to have different social programs and things like that. But when they fundamentally want to get rid of capitalism, that is a major problem. So, yes, the market will tank. All right. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for the email. And our number is, or our email address, if you want to send one, is dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to Dave on the phone. Dave, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This week on the Glenn Beck show, he made a comment about the trillions of dollars that the Chinese have, money that they have printed and what they have done with this money. And he was throwing up the alarm that if, you know, if they push the button, then it's just going to wreck the economy. I'd never heard of this before. I was just wondering if you did anything about it or if you could enlighten me on that subject.
Sure. Now, he's talking about trillions of dollars of U.S. debt that they hold?
He was indicating that they printed all this money to support all these apparently buildings and towns they're building.
Oh, you mean the Chinese debt? Yes. Yes.
The Chinese, yes, sir.
Yes, not the U.S. debt. I got you. Okay. I want to make sure because if it was going to be The Chinese could sell all our bonds, part 53, and the world would come to the end. They've done this before. The Japanese have done it before, or said they're going to do it, or people were worried about it. So I'm not worried about them holding our debt and then selling it, right? That's what I want to make sure we're clear on. Yes, they're printing their own. They're printing the yuan. They have massive amounts of debt. They are a paper tiger, actually, when it comes down to it. But they are a very dangerous paper dragon. And part of the danger is that they do have a big economy. They have a very big economy, but it is also very much inflated by the idea of digging holes and filling them in, and as you point out, building cities that nobody's in. So they've had a lot of building projects, have to employ a lot of people, and again, but their economy underneath all that is real, but they do have a massive debt problem. We will have to wait and see how that unwinds, but yes, they are printing a lot of money. They are deficit spending, and nobody knows to what level it is. It's a controlled society. We don't even know if their economy is really growing by the slowest rate in 30 or 40 years. We don't know. But it is, according to them, according to what words they want to get out, that their economy is growing slowly. Most people think that their growth rate has always been overstated and is today. So maybe they're barely growing. Maybe they're tipping towards recession. But it is a problem economically for the world, but I think it's already showing up. The actual numbers don't matter. The amount of trade matters. And if we're seeing how Europe is slowing down with their trade with China, yeah, I think it's pretty apparent that things are slowing down much worse than the Chinese are reporting, and they are in a bad position. I wish Trump would just keep his mouth shut about it. I think it makes it harder for them to save face and make a deal. But I also believe that he's right, that they're desperate to have a deal because they've got to get this monkey off their back with America. They're losing businesses out of there that as part of their supply chain. They don't want to do business in China anymore. They're moving to other sourcing, and they're not going to come back. They're just not going to come back. So this is a permanent loss. So, yeah, I think it's a problem for China. I don't listen to Glenn Beck anymore. I used to. But he was such a doom and gloomer. I just assume this is another doom and gloom reason why we need to buy gold and you know, whatever, food processors for the end times. So I just kind of just tune that part of it out because that's what he believes in every piece of data he sees.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate taking time to explain it to me and sort of things up a lot. Thank you.
You got it, Dave. Hey, thank you. You have a great day. Thanks for the call.
You too, sir.
Appreciate it. Bye now. And once again, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. People are spending money like crazy. They really are. Consumers are. All right, hang on here. I'm going to try this right here because, all right. Gone. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Bring him back up. Oh, he's back. All right. Wait, our board op here just had to run down the hall here for a second. So it's all good. All right. And so we're waiting to put a call up here, I believe. But anyway, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It looks like it's Bob. And go ahead and release Bob. We'll take him. We're running out of time this hour anyway. Hello, Bob.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling back.
The word recession is thrown around a lot.
Yes.
So what determines a recession? And we have the word analytics in sports all the time.
Yep.
In economics, is there certain numbers that it's foolproof if this happens, there'll be a recession? Or is it related to world activities? Can one thing happen across the world that will kick it off? I always get a kick when they said, we're going to have a recession sometime in the future, but we don't know when. Well, yeah, there will be sometime.
That's right. That's right.
So what exactly does that mean, a recession? And you got half the number of people saying it's not in sight, and the other half says it's coming. What numbers do you believe, or it's impossible to know when one is there?
Good point. First of all, the actual definition is two negative quarters of GDP. That's the in a row. That is a recession. Okay. Negative GDP two quarters in a row. And you have a recession. You bring up a point that is really important to understand with all of the numbers that are being tossed around. You say 100% of the time when we have a inversion, you know, a yield curve inversion, we have a recession after that. Well, guess what? You're right. 100% of the time, that's going to be true. So statistically, that is already going to be true because unless we've repealed ever having a recession again, right, then that's always going to be true. The problem with the data is that it's been more than 2 years in some cases later. Like, that's some kind of predictor. The market goes up another 100% over the next 2 years. Then we have a recession due to, I don't know, the 9/11, just making stuff up. You have a recession because everything comes to a halt. Okay, that doesn't seem correlated to me. But we have data that says it's 100% of the time. So are there any numbers that really are 100% indicators? The answer is no. That's the wonder of it, right? There is nothing that says this is what's going to happen. Can you roll things together and say 100% of the time when this happens? Again, that's numerology, okay? That's data mining. What people are doing is trying to figure out how they can be right on something that they aren't usually right about. We overpredict the number of recessions that come. Economists, as they say, famously have called 9 of the last 1 recessions, right? They 9 times in a row, and then they get it right. It's crazy, but we actually put weight on that. So my point is this, Bob, you just watched the data points. Are consumers still spending? Yes. Are employment claims going down? Yes. When that one turns, which, by the way, sounds like the very best indicator to me, not sounds like, it seems like it's got the highest correlation to an actual recession, is jobless claims. Is if that starts to rise, then we have a problem. Consistently, not one time, but consistently rising, we have a problem coming. Bob, great question. No, there's no single way. Not at all. Not one single way. You just have to watch the tea leaves and not worry about it. Hold your stocks through recessions. Who cares? Corporations will still be profitable. It doesn't mean they're going away. Thanks for your call, and thank you. We'll be heading up to hour number 2 of Money Matters. Please stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And yes, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Not this station, broker-dealer, or anything like that at all. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's nonsense. It's noise. And it adds to the short-term nature of our thought process. We just can't do that. The world drives us to short-term thinking all the time. It drives us there. And like I was talking about in the first hour, it's like, what do we do? What do we do to change the dynamic of short-term, if you will, noise, getting beaten down by all the gloom every day? No, watch our station, because we hate Trump more than the other one. Well, and the world is dying even more than you thought. It's just this constant screaming of how bad the world is. Snarky, snarky people. They've got to be the most horrifying, boring, terrible people to be around. But we tune in and watch. Can you believe what they said next? Can you believe anything that comes out of that White House? Okay. And they yell over top of each other. It's absolutely mind-numbing. How do you invest in that environment? Why would you think the world had any possibilities at all if we listen to that enough? So we really want to try to take a step back, and I'm just telling you, I don't know how to do it all the time either, honestly. Like I said, I occasionally get beaten down by all the gloom. I just have to stop and pull away. Chill out. You know, I can't change the whole world. Can't. I can't make the equity index annuity pimps go away. I try. Can't. I can't. I mean, if people are just going to embed themselves in the world is ending and the world is horrible, and I believe in the magic elixir over here, I can't stop them. I mean, how many people do you know? We all know people, right, that go in, and some guy looks at them and goes, just a second, let me wave like their fingers over their faces, or they wave, you know, throw dust at them or something like that and go, yeah, it looks like you have pancreatic whatever. Here, take some of this and that. And people are like, oh, okay, yeah, because you're right, the pharmaceutical companies, the big bad doctors and all that stuff, they don't know how to treat me, but you do. Oh, my. It's the same thing. I know, you don't want any part of that Wall Street thing. I got this thing. I don't carry any licenses. I'm not certified, because you couldn't be. I'm not this, I'm not that, but I got the answer over here. Oh, okay. That sounds perfect to me, because why? Because I'm scared. I think short term, and I sit around and I listen to all the gloom all the time. And I just, that magic word guarantee, I just love that word. I love that word. My life isn't guaranteed, but I want it to be guaranteed. We all love that word. We all love that word. So much we're willing to suspend reality and chase a phantom, because we know it's not true. Your grandmother who didn't make it through junior high knew that. That there's no such thing as a free lunch. It doesn't work that way. So I'm just going to tell you the income story, because it's the greatest story never told, except we tell it a lot. Greatest story never told. People just won't believe it. They think that you can't own the great corporations of the world and get rich. They think you have to trade it, or you have to wait till the market does something like, oh, a crash. What does a crash mean? I mean, what is the definition of a crash? I mean, is it like more than 20%? Does it have to go down 50? Is it like something that occurs in one day? Or is it just a word we use all the time? Crash. The market crash. 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 And what does that mean? You crash. Is it like it crashes and burns? Isn't that the implication, right? It's like it crashed. So that means all my money is vaporized. No, it doesn't. It's never been true. Not one time ever in the history of the market. What do you mean? No. I mean, it comes back and goes to all-time highs every time, 100% of the time. The only time that there's 100% out there is that the market has gone to all-time highs. That's it. That's it. We have market corrections. But I'm just asking, if since we like to toss around the word crash, I want to be able to use it correctly. You know, I want to know correctly what the use of crash is, like the correct percentage. Like, we know a bear market is 20%. I mean, it can feel like a bear market when it's less than that, but we know that we've defined that. I just wondered what crash was. So if somebody knows, let me know, because I want to know what crash is, because I want to properly use it in the future. So we've got all this stuff we talk about the markets, and they go down periodically, and then they go to all-time highs, and then they go down periodically, and they go to all-time highs. But one thing that is very consistent, very, very, very consistent, is that their income continues to rise. So if we put $100,000 into the S&P 500. Now, what's the S&P 500? It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? It's the ugly companies like WorldCom and Enron that go, and for that part of the whole portfolio, guess what? It went to zero. It vaporized. It's the good, which are companies, in my illustration here, that are great, like Google, Amazon, Netflix, Priceline, but they don't pay a dividend, so there's no income story regarding them. And I'm sorry, that's the bad. Now, the good ones are the ones that pay dividends. You know, like the Procter & Gamble story that we talk about all the time. One penny per share in 1970, 70 cents a share now, rose every year regardless of the stock price going up and down. That's amazing. You know what's really amazing? That's not the IPO. They were like 100 years old before you bought it in 1970. And they're a soap company. Yeah, I know. So you don't have to come up with, like, you don't have to be Google, okay? Microsoft. You don't have to do that. Pretty amazing as an income story, just on that one. But all together, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything all thrown in one. We put $100,000 in 1970. Why did I pick 1970? Because 1970s were terrible. That's why. I want to be perfectly fair to this. The 1970s were horrible, right? Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon, 21.5% prime lending rates. Horrible times. It also includes the market crash in 87. It includes three 50% market corrections. Three of them. That's pretty horrific. All right? You just can't find another period that's worse to illustrate. All right. So 100,000. We get 3,400 first year in dividends. No reinvestment. We take our dividends out and we go blow them. By 1990s, we're up fourfold in our dividends. We're getting over $12,000, $13,000 by 1990. Once again, in spite of a market crash, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, hyperinflation, the Soviet Union. We've now taken out our original investment plus another $30,000. That's right. Our income increased over fourfold during one of the worst periods economically in the history of the United States. Oh, I forgot to tell you what the stock price did. Why did I not tell you that? Irrelevant. It's irrelevant what the S&P's price is at. It's only relevant when you die. And it's only relevant then to your kids, your heirs. That's it. But you're free to push the button every day and drive yourself nuts. Help yourself. I'm sure it's really helpful. I'm sure it's great attitude adjustment. Something that's really important every night. I want to know what my net worth is. Net worth. All my value is right here on my fingertip. It's not. Stop doing that. It's crazy. Quit acting like a crazy person. Focus on what's important. Now, we all know the 1990s were pretty good, so it probably doesn't surprise you that by 2000, we're at $18,000. On a one-time $100,000 investment that was never reinvested, not one penny, you've now taken out almost $300,000. And it just keeps rolling. The towers go down. Another 50% market correction. QE 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever. It's going to go away and all this and hyperinflation and all that talk. And what about the Asian currency crisis? It's all in there. It's all in there. And you don't get to live forever. So we have to end the party at some point in time. How about the end of last year? Your income is $55,000 on 100. You've taken out $883,000 on 100,000. And your heirs receive $2.7 million. So I guess it probably matters what the market did today. But does it? Did it? Or all of those thousands of days and all those hundreds of really bad days? See, 9/11's in this. The market crash is in this. All the QEs are in this. 2008. It's in there. The terrible 70s, oil embargoes. It's in there. All it does is goes up more than any other income investment in the world. Well, okay, that's good, Dave, but should I buy? Is our market high? Is it too high? I mean, are we going to go into a recession? What about the yield inversion? No. When we really want to get this. We find peace. We find peace in our investments. And that peace is found when we embrace and understand that the price is a temporary fluctuation. The value of the great corporations is the growth of their income over time.
when we push the button, we give in to no peace. We give in to the dark side. Well, I just want to know why. You already know. Today's not the day to sell. Today's the day to buy. But I just want to know. The income story doesn't change. Doesn't change. Sometimes individual companies run into trouble and they don't pay their dividend or they cut it. But collectively, no. If the world is growing, then the income will grow from that world. Peace is only found taking a step back. I promise you, the closer you look, the more dysfunctional you will be. I love the income story for its clarity of what this is about. It's not about price movements. It's not about market crashes or whatever big, giant verb we want to throw on this. Oh, I don't want to be part of that. All fear, and fear sells. It sells people to buy a pretty brick called gold. That does nothing. Why would you think it had value? What is it? It's because it's almost like the emperor has no clothes. Yes, those are beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's good. And yep. Yep, that's fantastic. And then somebody says, hey, it's a pretty brick. It can't do anything. It doesn't have any value. What? It's a pretty brick. Or worse, you tie your money up in an equity index annuity. Not good. All right, we got to take a quick break. Pat, hang on, and we're going to be right back to answer your questions. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. Give us a call now. We're going to bolt out of here. We've got over 100 of our clients coming to the tailgate, and I want to see the game anyway, right? So we're going to bolt out of here at about 20 minutes till the top of the hour, and a tremendous recording that we pulled up from about a month ago, actually within a month, less than a month ago, with Bob Carey, and just pulled up a 20-minute clip. We'll actually rerun the whole thing again at some point soon because it was so informative. In my mind, it was just terrific. He's such a great interview. At any rate, let's go to Pat in Boise right now. Pat, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dave. I liked your positive attitude about the economy and investment and so forth, but unfortunately, world growth is shrinking now, and corporate profits are also shrinking now. So I think we need to be aware that things are going in a bad direction.
Okay, first of all, world growth is not shrinking. It's slowing down.
That's what I meant. Growth
I understand,
is shrinking.
Okay.
Growth is shrinking.
Right. So there's a big difference between growing slower and actually shrinking, and I just want to make sure.
And I didn't say that, so okay. Go ahead.
All right. Profits, same thing. So profit growth is not as fast, but we are seeing, apparently so far this year, 2.5% growth, okay?
Yeah, and it's projected to go even lower. The projections have come way down on corporate profit growth.
Correct. So
I think we need to be realistic about where things are headed. It's not a good time. It may be a bad time.
It could be, but markets are not unaware of that. And I would actually argue in this particular case that stocks are very, very cheap. And I would say that because it's also, even though I don't like using relative, like compared to this, it's super cheap. But when it comes to finances, you have to put your money somewhere. And so if we're going to put money to work in bonds, does that make sense? Certainly it
maybe
doesn't
not.
To me.
Yeah, I hear you there, but I'm concerned about the Trump economy. $1 trillion deficits for 2% growth. That just seems like a very poor performance.
Well, and I would have to say
as we look back, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm happy about deficit spending, because I'm not. But on the other hand, we had $9 trillion put together under Obama for less growth than that. So we're...
Oh, my gosh. It was the same growth, but this is a time of a healthy economy. Deficit should be coming way down, not going up.
Well, I'd like to see that, too. I'd like to see spending come down. But we can't argue that $9 trillion is okay, but $1 trillion
is not. No, but Trump's going to exceed that. He's blown the whole thing up. He's doubled the deficit.
Okay.
That's horrendous. So I think he's doing a terrible job with the economy.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Everybody has an opinion. That's totally fair. And so,
you know, Dave, some people say socialism has never worked.
I think everybody agrees that that's true, but go ahead. I don't think it's some people think.
Neither has protectionism. Protectionism has never worked. And I'm disappointed in people like you and others who know better, who are not being more critical about our protectionist in chief.
I have always been critical. I've always been a free trade advocate, and because it's certainly every country in the world that does that. I don't think this is about protectionism in the sense of trying to protect businesses that don't deserve to be protected because they're coming
exactly
under the cover of the government.
Doing.
What I am saying, that's Pat,
exactly
is that in fact,
what
we have to do is deal with intellectual property rights. We have to deal with the fact that they steal all of the Chinese are stealing everything crazily, and we do have to have better free trade, and that's uniformly agreed upon. I don't know any Democrat in the Senate who is saying right now that that we should not be dealing harshly with the Chinese. Democrats and Republicans are on the same page on this. I'm not sure why you're not.
And that's why you need to step up, Dave, because Republicans and Democrats alike are not standing up for free trade. No one is standing up for it. And Trump got rid of TTP right when he stepped in. That was a free trade effort to exclude China, if anything.
Right. And I think that's actually a very good thing. I'm puzzled. So you think that the Democrats who hate everything that Trump does are completely out to lunch because they are supporting him on the trade issue?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
They're as dumb. At least we used to have the conservatives who would stand up for free trade. Now we're no better than Bernie Sanders.
So free trade, no matter what they steal, no matter what they take, no matter what technology they demand be sent over, no matter what they do, we need to go with free trade. This is what you're saying, correct?
You make the adjustments you can, as they said, do it as a team, get your allies together, and try to clamp down on China. That's true. But you don't give up free trade. It's not working. It's going to cost every household $1,000 to $1,400 a year going forward is the projection. That wipes out the Trump tax cuts. Protectionism has never worked.
Okay.
And we need to stand up for free trade.
So I certainly do, but I also think the free trade needs to be fair, and I will support the idea that no matter what the other guy does, that's not okay. I don't think that's okay. That no matter what whoever you're trading with, no matter what they do, that you just keep trading. I don't think that's correct at all.
What about our 25% tariff on trucks? Pickup trucks, should we get rid of that?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. I don't think our president agrees with that.
Well, I don't know, and I don't know all the moving parts, and I don't support tariffs of any kind. But I also think that if you don't have, especially when you're dealing with a government, the Chinese, that has stated that they are going to continue to expand, that they are taking over territory that they do not own, in their own backyard, that they want to rule the world, that you don't just say, that's okay, because we want to trade with you. It's all right from us. We should just let you steal. I don't understand that point of view, honestly.
You're not standing up for free trade. If the Chinese pass us fair and square, they have four times more people, so I would expect they would, then that's the way it goes. Both sides benefit from free trade. Adam Smith's book was not Wealth of Nations. It was Wealth of Nations. Free trade is key.
I don't disagree. But I do disagree with you that it's okay to deal with the Chinese as is. I completely disagree. They are the bad actor in the world right now. They steal everything. We even had it here with Micron locally. This is not, I don't understand. I don't understand. It's okay. We're just going to deal with them. It's all right. They steal. They steal stuff. They try to steal your technology. Huawei stuff to spy on people. That's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay that they just steal intellectual property and make copies of it. That's okay because it's Chinese. It's not a problem.
You work on it to the best extent you can. Everyone spies. But the U.S. trade deficit with China has actually increased 12% under Trump. So it ain't working. Our economy is starting to slow down with the world economy, surprise, surprise, and it's not working. That's the bottom line.
So we give
in. I thought we had the best economy in 50 years before he started these tariffs. Why didn't we stick with the best economy we've had in 50 years?
So you're right, Pat. We just need to go ahead and let the Chinese have whatever they want. We should probably just download all of our secrets to them. Because why play the game and just let them steal it? Why play the game anymore? Just go ahead and download it. Give it to them.
You can be more protective, yes. But that's going to be a dynamic that is always going to be there. When you're leading an IP, people are going to try to steal your stuff. That doesn't mean you crawl into a little hole and hide from the world
economy.
And
we should just let them do it, and there should be no consequences. I understand. I got it. I'm sorry. We got to take a break for Fox News. Pat, thank you, and I appreciate it. You can call back anytime. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Final short segment coming up live, so ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us today. I'm going to have to bolt out of here. We have a recording coming up here, Bob Carey, and I'll play the whole program here again coming up because it's so insightful. First Trust has been just one of those companies that's been dead on with all the pessimism around. They were optimistic about the outcome, and guess what? They were right. Things have been going pretty well. Look, we've got a slowdown globally, no doubt about that. Slowdown doesn't mean negative. That means still positive, including the United States. If you have a job, you can have another job. If you don't have a job, I don't know what to say. Everybody's employed. Consumer's strong. And I think these are the things that we want to put up right in front of us more than all the negativity. Things are slowing down. The growth is slowing. But it's not negative. Now, next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about dividend yields. Because we're living in a world where interest makes no sense. Going in and buying a CD, things like that. But what if we want income? Are stocks the place to be? You know how I feel long term, but short term, it's awfully attractive. All right, go Broncos. We're out of here now, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Thanks again for tuning in.